Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is Mormonism. And to talk about this with me, I have Dr. Dave Johnson. Let me tell you a bit about Dr. Dave Johnson. Dr. Dave Johnson has a Master's of Arts in Apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. He has a Doctorate of Ministry from Southern Evangelical Seminary. I should know that. I graduated from there. Matter of fact, when you got your doctorate degree, I was getting my master's degree, so I should know that.
Absolutely.
He regularly submits articles to secular publications in order to interject the Christian worldview into the marketplace of ideas, and he's also president of Contend for the Faith Ministry. Could you tell us about Contend for the Faith Ministry?
Well, first of all, Harold, I appreciate you having me here on the program today.
Thank you.
What we do with Contend for the Faith is we speak and teach in schools or churches or universities, wherever we're invited, to essentially to equip Christians to better understand and contend for the Christian faith in our society. We will promote and defend Christianity against other worldviews, philosophies, cults, world religions, anything that really challenges the Christian faith. We teach and equip people how to answer those challenges.
Right.
I mean, many people have very good questions about Christianity. How do we know Christianity is true because of
right.
this or that?
Right.
Well, there are good answers to those good questions, and
right.
we provide those good answers.
Okay, Dr. Johnson, let's get right to it. What is Mormonism?
Well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the formal name of the group that we also refer to as Mormons. And the church was founded by Joseph Smith, Jr. He was a man who lived in the early 1800s. In 1820, he said that he was visited by God the Father and God the Son because he was wondering about which church to join in his area. He lived in Palmyra, New York. And he wondered which church to join. And he said he goes out to the woods and he prays about it, and Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ appear to him, and they tell him, don't join any of the churches that are in existence today because they're all wrong. Their creeds and their people are all wrong in what they're saying. You don't want to join any of them. And then a short while after that, Joseph Smith is visited, he says, by the angel Moroni, who shows him where these golden plates are buried in a hill in New York. And he helps him find these plates, allegedly. Then Joseph Smith translates the writing on these plates. It's in a writing that actually doesn't exist, but he said it was written in Reformed Egyptian. And so he spent about 3 years, quote-unquote, translating these golden plates, and it turned into the Book of Mormon that he produced. And Joseph also produced two other books of Scripture that Mormons revere as Scripture, called The Doctrine and Covenants and The Pearl of Great Price. And so really what Joseph Smith said was that he was the prophet for these latter days, that Christianity as taught by Jesus and the apostles had really fled from the scene because of corruption in the message of the gospel from the time that the apostles died. So Christianity as in total had been corrupted, and God decided in the 1800s to bring a latter prophet for these latter days to not reform the Christian faith, but restore the Christian faith that had been lost from the face of the earth.
Okay, so explain to us what a cult is and tell us whether or not Mormonism is a cult.
Well, when people like us typically speak about cults, we're speaking about cults in a using a theological definition. We're speaking about a group that would claim to be Christian but denies one or more of the essential teachings of the Christian faith, either the nature of God being a Trinity, or the deity of Christ, or the substitutionary atonement of Christ, the virgin birth, the second coming of Christ. There are groups like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, the Way International, Christian Science. All of these groups claim to be Christian, yet they deny one or more of these essential teachings of the Christian faith. So we're speaking about a group as a cult in light of that theological definition. It's not that we're saying that everybody involved in one of these groups is like a Jim Jones or a David Koresh who will lead their followers
right,
to
right.
death
right.
and destruction. We're not saying that at all. In fact, many people who are involved in the major cults, the groups that we would term as cults, are wonderful people. They're good people, moral
yeah.
people. They're sincere. They truly want to follow God in the way that their group teaches them to. So we're not saying that they're all bad people or terrible people. We're simply saying that this group, based on its teachings, is denying one or more of the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. Therefore, they shouldn't validly be called Christians.
Right, and that's what we're going to talk about, because one of the things that I really like to do on this show is to actually get into the meat of some of these religions and cults, because we live in a society that believes that everyone, that all religions are basically the same. And what they fail to realize is that when you actually examine the beliefs themselves, then you see that that is not true. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to actually talk about their, look at the main doctrines, and let's actually examine those. So for instance, God, what is the Mormon view of God?
Well, the Mormon, first of all, let me give a kind of a quick summary of the yeah. differences between okay. Mormonism and Christianity in their doctrinal teachings. Essentially, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches a different God, or the God they speak of is a different God than the God of the Bible. The Jesus Christ of Mormonism is a different Jesus, and the salvation, the good news, the gospel that is given by Mormons is different than the gospel from the Bible. So I would argue that all three of those are very different. A different God, a different Jesus, and a different salvation, or a different gospel of salvation. And we can go through those individually. Okay. But what they teach about the nature of God is this. Joseph Smith said that God himself was once as we are now. He was a mortal man who lived on another planet somewhere else in the universe. He lived as a mortal man. He heard the Mormon gospel. He embraced it. He died. He was resurrected, and he became a god. He became the god of this world. The Mormon Church teaches that there are actually many true gods that exist in the universe, many true gods, not just one. There's one God for this world, they will say, Heavenly Father, but there are actually many true gods that exist other places in the universe. And the God of this world had a father who is a god, and that God had a father who is a god, and that God who had a father who is a god, on back into the infinite eternity. They say there was never a time when there weren't gods. And the primary teaching, the primary goal of Mormonism is that for every faithful Mormon man, that if he follows the Mormon gospel and does what he's supposed to do, that he is hoping to achieve godhood. He's hoping to be able to become a god of his own planet, like Heavenly Father over this planet.
Now, who set this up, this whole system of becoming a god? That's one of the things that has always confused me.
Well, Joseph Smith would say that this is the way things really are, and this is what God simply revealed to him in the 1820s. But really, I think it came out of the imagination of Joseph Smith more right. than anything else, and it certainly contradicts what Scripture says. The idea of Mormonism is that there's a Heavenly Father, and a Heavenly Father has at least one wife who is also a goddess. So you have gods and goddesses. Faithful Mormon women believe that they can become goddesses as well. So you have Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother. They produce spirit children. They have celestial sex, they produce spirit children, and these spirit children...
What do you mean by spirit children? I'm trying to, because either you have a body or you don't have a body. I'm trying to figure out, I don't understand the whole spiritual child.
Well, Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother produce spirit children, which are immaterial children. They're spirit children, and they need physical bodies to be placed into. It's not totally dissimilar to the Christian belief that the human being is a dualism. There's an immaterial part and there's a material part of the human being. You have a soul and you have a body. So the idea is these spirit children need to be placed into physical bodies. So typically that's why you see many Mormon families have a large number of children, because they feel an obligation to essentially create new vessels, new bodies for these spirit children that are waiting to be deposited into physical bodies here on earth. The reason why that's important is you need to be embodied. You as a spirit child need to be put into a physical body in order to get on the path so that you can progress to godhood. That's the Mormon teaching.
So what is wrong with, so they believe in polytheism, right? Many
yes.
gods. So what is wrong with this from the Christian perspective?
Well, what's wrong with it is that the Bible says over and over again there's only one true God.
Right.
There is no other God than the God of the Bible. Isaiah 43 10 says that we can know and believe that, and God says, I am He, there is no other.
Right.
There were no gods before me formed, there shall be no gods after me. You know, I, the Lord, alone am God. So that's one major point right there that contradicts the Bible, especially if you read in Isaiah, the middle chapters of Isaiah, say 40 through 46, God says over and over and over again, there is no other God but me. I don't know of any other gods. Now, sometimes the Mormon will come back and say, well, see, that's just saying there's only one God for this world.
Right.
But that's not what Scripture says there in the context. The God of the Bible says, I don't even know of any other gods. There were no gods formed before me. There shall be no gods formed after me. He's saying there aren't any other gods in all the universe. I'm the only one. And both biblically and logically and philosophically, that must be the case. We don't have to go into all the philosophical aspects, but it's impossible for there to be many finite gods, which is essentially the teaching of Mormonism. Mormonism teaches that there are many gods who, none of them are infinite. They were all mortal men who became gods. So they say there are many finite gods. Well, philosophically, that's just impossible. There has to be one infinite God who himself is uncreated, who created everything else that exists. But Mormonism denies that.
What about the nature of man? How do they view man, or do they view man differently than the way Scripture teaches us?
Well, they do view man differently in this sense. Number one, they believe that the fall of man, the fall of Adam, which we would consider to be a bad thing, Adam and Eve sinning against God, disobeying God, they consider that to actually be a good thing. They believe that it was a fall upwards because prior to their sin, Adam and Eve, now don't ask me to explain this, but Adam and Eve didn't have physical bodies prior to their sin, but at the fall, their bodies became physical, and that was a good thing because then having a physical body allows you to progress on the road to godhood. So they look at man and they say that the fall was actually a good thing. Also, they believe that man is a god in embryo. They believe that human beings have the same essential nature as the gods do. And you can think of it like this. You were in the military. Which branch?
Navy.
You were in the Navy. Well, I don't know if it works the same way in the Navy. It probably doesn't. Let me give an analogy of the Army, because I think I've got the terms right. If you go into the Army, you start out as a private. And I think the highest rank you can get in the Army, or you tell me, can't you be a 5-star general in the Army? 4-star, 5-star general?
4-star general.
Okay. All right. Whatever the highest rank is, let's say it's 4-star general. The private in the Army is not any different by nature than the 4-star general.
Right.
The difference is the 4-star general has progressed. He's worked hard. He's earned this higher rank than the private is. Well, that's the way the Mormons look at the difference between man and God. There's not a difference of nature between them.
Okay.
We're gods in embryo, and we can do exactly what Heavenly Father did in becoming a god or a goddess. There's a difference in rank. There's a difference in progression and level that the individual has earned. Heavenly Father has earned the rank of a god. We as human beings haven't earned that rank, but we can earn that rank just like he did.
Okay, what about Jesus? How do they view Jesus, and how is that different from the way that we view Jesus?
Well, by the way, let me finish the first point by saying that it is contrary to Scripture.
Certainly, the
difference between man and God, the nature of man versus the nature of God, is really the difference of infinity. Man is finite. We can never and will never become gods and goddesses. Our goal and our desire is to live with God forever in heaven. The Mormon goal is to live as gods and goddesses forever over their own planet.
Okay.
All right, when it comes to Jesus, again, there's a big difference between what the Bible teaches and what the Mormon Church teaches on who Jesus is. The Mormon Church teaches that Jesus is the first spirit child of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. He's our elder brother. The Mormon view is that all human beings are brothers and sisters from the spirit realm. We're all children of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. Interestingly enough, the angels and the demons are also our brothers and sisters, and Lucifer is also our brother according to Mormonism. So where some of us might more closely resemble resemble our brother Lucifer. Okay. That's not a biblical view. So Jesus and Lucifer are both brothers and our brothers according to the Mormon view, but that's not the biblical view at all. God has made us so that, you know, human beings are born onto this earth. We don't have a pre-existence. There's not a spirit floating around that waited to be placed into your body when your mother conceived you. Our soul is conceived along with our body at the time of conception. So again, it's contrary to the Mormon view. So this Jesus, the Mormon Jesus, he was conceived as a spirit child. Now, somehow, Mormon teaching doesn't explicitly explain how this happened, because they can't really explain how it happened. But somehow, while still in the pre-existence, before Jesus had a body, Jesus earned the rank of a god. He somehow became a god in the pre-existence. Now, for everybody else, you have to gain a physical body in order to go on the path to godhood. Somehow, they don't explain how Jesus became a god in the pre-existence. So when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, then he was a god at that time. So here's an important distinction that sometimes Christians and Christian pastors even make this error. I've heard pastors say many times, well, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they deny the deity of Christ. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses certainly deny the deity of Christ all the time. He wasn't God before, during, or after his incarnation. But the Mormons do not deny the deity of Christ. What the Mormons deny is the eternal deity of Christ. Jesus is not eternally God according to Mormonism. He started out as a spirit child. He earned the rank of a god before the incarnation, and then he was a god separate from Heavenly Father from that time on. So they deny the eternal deity of Christ. Now that's contrary to Scripture, which says Jesus right. was and is God from all eternity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. Jesus was always God from all eternity. He is eternal. He is as eternal as the Father. He is as eternal as the Holy Spirit. And these are the three persons within the nature of the one God. But the Mormons, when you ask a Mormon about the Trinity, they'll say, we believe in the Trinity. The Trinity is Heavenly Father, who has a physical body, Jesus Christ, who has a physical body, and the Holy Ghost, who is a personage of spirit. He doesn't have a physical body. All three of these are gods. They're separate and distinct gods, but they're one in purpose and their desire for the world. So that's what we mean by Trinity. Now, that's not the Trinity as the Bible explains it. Again, the Bible says there's one true God by nature who exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So a very different view between Mormonism and what the Bible teaches on the nature of God and the nature of Christ.
So what would they say about the crucifixion?
Well, with the crucifixion, what the Mormon Church teaches is that Jesus' death on the cross, what he buys for us is resurrection. He buys resurrection for all the people who ever live. You will have a physical resurrection because of the death of Christ. And they will term that as salvation, in a sense, but it's the lowest kind of salvation. Now, this is kind of a tricky thing that you have to understand, again, the differences between Mormonism and Christianity. In Christianity, salvation and eternal life, these terms are synonymous. They mean the same thing, and we understand them in the same way. But in Mormonism, there are different kinds and different levels of salvation. There's individual salvation, there's general salvation, which really just means resurrection. And we get that because Jesus died on the cross for us. Then there's individual salvation, which you have to work for and earn, and then there's full salvation, which you have to work for more and earn. And the ultimate salvation, the highest form of salvation in Mormonism, is godhood, becoming a god or goddess. So again, there's a very big difference between what the LDS teach on salvation and what the Bible teaches on salvation. There are not many kinds of salvation and many levels that you can attain of salvation within Christianity. You are either saved or you're not saved. You're either reconciled to God or you're estranged from God, but there aren't these various levels. Now, for the Christian, what the Bible says is that there are different rewards that Christians Christians will receive. All are saved, and there will be different levels of rewards. I mean, Billy Graham, for instance, will probably get a whole lot more reward than I will for all that he's done, yet there are not different levels or ranks. Billy Graham will not become a god, and I'll only make it to the level of angel or something like that. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Let's talk a little bit about the Book of Mormon. Exactly what is the Book of Mormon, and how is that related to the Bible?
All right, well, first of all, the Mormons view four books as scripture. They believe that the Bible is the Word of God, they say, insofar as it's correctly translated, properly translated. They believe that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, that the Doctrine and Covenants is the Word of God, and that the Pearl of Great Price is the Word of God. They believe that the Bible is the least reliable of these books, but generally it is reliable. They say, you know, there might be a few errors in it here and there, but generally it's reliable, and they actually appeal to the Bible to try and support Mormon teaching. They try and say, see, the Bible goes along with what we're teaching here in the Book of Mormon, and let me explain how. But they believe that the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, those are infallible, inerrant, unchangeable doctrines, unchangeable teachings of God, but they believe the Bible, however, has been corrupted somewhat, to some degree. Now, varying degrees according to whom you talk to or whom you read in Mormonism, but they believe that it's the least reliable of the four books of Scripture.
But what happens when the Bible contradicts the Book of Mormon?
Well, it can be one of two things. Either the Bible has to be reinterpreted, where the Bible would clearly speak about there only being one God, for instance, then the Mormon is typically taught, well, those passages are talking about there's only one God for this world. Now, you read the passages in the Bible, they're not saying that in any way, shape, or form, but Mormons are taught, no, this is the right way to interpret that. It's just saying one God for this world. So you either reinterpret and misinterpret what the Bible says, or you deny what the Bible says, and you can say, oh, that might be one of the errors. Now, interestingly enough, if you ever have a conversation with a Mormon and ask him, can you point out, I understand that your church teaches that there are a few errors in the Bible, can you tell me what those errors are, and you know, we'll set those aside. In other words, if you say the book of Galatians is all corrupted, well, I won't quote from Galatians in our discussion. So can you list some of the errors for me and I'll set those aside? Well, if a Mormon has any answer at all to that question, it might only be one or two verses. So the good thing about asking that question in the first place before you have a discussion is then all of the Bible ends up being in bounds other than what they might say, well, here's an error or there's an error. So list the errors, stay away from them, they probably won't even give you any, but then all of the Bible is fair game to discuss when you're talking about theology, biblical theology versus Mormon theology.
Well, Dr. Johnson, I'm sure that most of our audience aren't familiar with the Book of Mormon. Could you just give us a brief overview of the Book of Mormon?
Sure. The Book of Mormon purports to be a history of ancient Hebrews who left Israel, sailed across the oceans, landed in South America and Central America, came to this continent as a great exodus. And so the Book of Mormon purports to be the story and the history of these people as they lived and built civilizations and had incredible wars in Central America, South America, eventually moving to North America. The interesting thing about the way the Book of Mormon was allegedly produced by Joseph Smith is this. As I said, these golden plates that he said existed were written on by a language he called Reformed Egyptian. Now, Joseph couldn't read Reformed Egyptian. Nobody in his day could read even Egyptian hieroglyphics very well. So the way Joseph translated the Book of Mormon, according to Mormon authorities, is that he would put his head into a hat. He would cover his face with a hat, looking into the hat. The Book of Mormon is sitting over here somewhere, these golden plates. He's looking into a hat. And he says that God would show him the Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics inside the hat, and then he would reveal an English translation underneath that, and he would dictate that English translation to one of his scribes. His scribe would write it down, he would repeat it to him, and Joseph would say, yes, that's correct, and then that vision of that line would go away, and the next line would show up inside this hat. Now, when you talk to anybody about how do we have our Bible, how is the Bible translated, that's not how it's translated.
Right.
It's translated from manuscripts in known languages that scholars can translate from Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic into English, so we know, in fact, what it says. That what I've just described to you as how Joseph supposedly translated the Book of Mormon, that's occultism.
Yes.
That is not anything that is found in Scripture or as we see from the Bible. That's not a proper a translation. That's an occultic way of learning or understanding what the Book of Mormon allegedly said. Now, here's the really interesting thing. Based on that kind of word-for-word dictation of the Book of Mormon, God is revealing word-for-word to Joseph Smith what the Book of Mormon says. Based on that, there can't be a single change in the Book of Mormon because it's the Word of God from beginning to end. God showed this to him word-for-word. The interesting thing is this. Any of our viewers can go and find this book, look online, and find this book called Joseph Smith Begins His Work. It's published by Deseret Press, which is a Mormon publishing company, a publishing company in Utah. If you find Joseph Smith Begins His Work, this is the actual reprint of the original Book of Mormon as Joseph Smith took it to the printer, and they printed the 1830 edition. When you compare Joseph Smith Begins His Work to the modern day Book of Mormon, there are 4,000 changes between the original and what we find today. Now, with the way Joseph supposedly translated,
right.
There shouldn't be one change, not
right.
one change, not an and, the, or but change. But it's not just minor changes in the Book of Mormon today. It's substantive changes. Phrases have been added. Phrases have been deleted for no reason other than they seem to not fit very well with the theology that the Mormon Church was teaching. So it's a huge skeleton in the closet of Mormonism, and I think if nothing else disproved Mormonism being true, that alone would disprove its validity.
Which is what is very interesting about that is that you say that they consider the Bible to be corrupt. The
yep.
Bible has errors in it. But yet, as you were demonstrating, that it is the Book of Mormon that has all the errors in it. But Dr. Johnson, this brings us to the end of the show. How can people get in contact with you if they want to, briefly?
Well, we have a website. It's www.contendforthefaith.org,
okay.
contendforthefaith.org. They can contact us through there, email. I'm happy to speak and teach on this subject and any other subject related to contending for the faith and helping people to understand how they can try and reach their Mormon friend, neighbor, coworker with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ as opposed to the error that's taught within Mormonism.
Thanks again, Dr. Johnson. That will end this edition of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.